I just want to give a quick apology. Last episode, I may have slipped up, made a comment. I'm not really going to repeat it just for the fact, but for the most part, this is a platform where we try to respect everybody. So for whoever I may have offended, I do want to sincerely apologize for that. Again, your opinion, comments does matter. This platform is to change the narratives and, you know, address these type of moments. All right, your boy Diggy Dat. You already know what it is. Another episode. It's all good. Man, so blessed to be here. It's been a long journey. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining me on the platform. Thank you to the listeners. I want to say that this ongoing project is very significant to me. It means a lot hearing from you and having your support. So keep doing so. And we can only get better going on from here. So today I have a very special guest, you know, a childhood friend. We go back from when your boy used to have hoop dreams, man. Like I think we met on T.Wire. For yeah. you kids who don't know what that is, before you can swipe
your left. Aging us right now.
Oh shit. You know? Either way, that's we go back. All
I'm
right?
21. I'm 21. Shit.
Listen. It's all good. We like fine wine over here. But yeah, so back in the days, I used to have lots of aspirations, goals, dreams, and, you know, met some very interesting individuals. And before we even knew that we were going to have so many different levels of degrees of separation, I think it's called, we knew each other already. And it was later on in life how things transpired. I think she can tap into that a little bit more. With the education, you end up meeting people that were from the same neighborhood as I'm from. Essentially, this individual, this female, is here to talk to us about therapy and a little bit of mental health.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh, juicy. So without no further ado.
Everyone gets scared when you say mental health. They're like, oh no.
I'm going to introduce you to Tam. Tam, let us know what you've been up to. How's COVID treating you?
Oh, COVID. Oh, man. It's a love-hate, you know? I feel like it's been great because I feel like I learned so much more about myself and even my family. We spent so much time together that, you know, you just can't help but to learn a 1-2 thing about them. You're like, yeah. Wait, am I living with strangers here? Like, I thought I knew.
Who were you?
Right? Like, who were you? But no, it's been... I will say it's been more great than it's been bad. Mm-hmm. So when I say it's been great, it's because I'm focused more on the good times rather than, like, you know, just getting bored, even feeling lonely at some point, you know, like not having the ability to just go out and do what you want to do and see people or see your friends.
Yeah.
So I think, like, me being an extrovert. We're struggling right now, you know? We get recharged.
I'm not a homebody.
We get recharged from human interaction. So, yes. Like, I'm super happy right now, you know, I'm just saying. But, like, we recharge from human interaction, right? So, because I haven't been able to get as much as I'm used to, it's like, okay, I gotta adapt. And I think we all have to remember, it's just like, you know, we adapt to our new normal. It really does feel like normal, even though they keep saying it's going to end. We don't know when it's going to end. Mm-hmm. So we have to treat, you know, each day as a new day. Mm-hmm. Not to be a motivational speaker, but, like, no, but it's a real thing that I have to say to myself. So
it is. It's definitely a reality. But that's a little bit of, like, socially. What about financially and health-wise? How, I mean, your career is basically based on motivational speaker in some sense.
In a sense, you know.
So you probably got that in the back pocket.
There's a few... I won't lie, you know, in some of my sessions when, you know, the spirit takes me. Sometimes I'm preaching to my clients and they're like, I feel you, Tam. Like, I get it. And I'm like, yeah. And, you know, we leave. We're just kind of like, yeah. And then probably like 5 minutes later, we're like, what did she say again? Like, it's all good. It's all good.
You
it's
empowered the moment. That's yeah. That's all it is.
We just need to plant seeds.
Yeah, that's it. So what? Tell me a little bit more as far as from when we met, how young we were. We were about like what? 15 years old.
But you
old?
Didn't let me answer my question about finance.
Oh, yes.
And health.
See, I love that.
Shoot, I gotta keep you on point. Shoot.
I was trying to get ahead of the curve, but you know what? Let me pump my brakes. Go on.
So, truthfully, financially, like, I've been so blessed in the sense where when I started my business, I wanted it to be online. So, this was before COVID happened, actually. So, I was already online trying to figure out how to, you know, navigate online. So when we had to switch over, and some of my colleagues naturally were like worried because it's a new territory. Mm-hmm. I was good. Like, yeah. I was like, no You're problem. Yeah, no problem. So
trailblazer.
I'm just like, this has to be my calling, because certain things that have happened in my life, I'm like, this was not easy to get here, but there's something pushing me here. Mm-hmm. There's doors that are opening for me and I only have to knock once. So definitely feeling blessed. My health, for the most part, I've never had a lot of health issues. Amen. So when COVID came about, I got cocky. You know, I'm like, yo, if I get COVID, it's no problem. You know, like, my immune system is pretty strong. So I'm not worried in that sense. But for folks who generally get sick often, those are the folks that I worry about, because just a common cold can sometimes knock them down for like 3-4 days, mm-hmm. right? So, my health has been good for the most part. Allergies still kick my butt. But you know, it's okay. It's just, I need to blow my nose and I'm good again. Like, it's all good.
No, it's not. It ain't, we got to bring it back to the playground and all that, but that's okay. So now if I'm allowed to advance.
You're doing well. Welcome to Change the Narrative. Yeah, I'm about to take over.
That's why we here. This is exactly why we have this platform, you know? Because life is too serious as it is sometimes. And it's good to have some fun and really talk about some serious stuff and still, you know, take over the control and,
Absolutely. And
bounce off each other. So I definitely appreciate that. And I love the energy. Keep it up. Personally, what does therapy mean to you?
You know, I was talking to someone about just therapy in general, and I think that's when it clicked to me, like, if I had to answer that question about what does therapy mean to me, is pouring into another person. So when I say pouring in, it's just that a lot of us are surrounded by a lot of sucky people, and sometimes...
Sucky people, I like how she said that.
You know, you gotta keep it PG, you know? I'm used to working with all ages, so you say things that are PG all the time. So I'm tapping into Tamara, okay? I'm not Tam today, I'm Tamara.
Dr. Tam.
No, I'm not a doctor. No PhD, just master's. So...
You said she did that, though? Hold on. We have to take a pause. Like, I hope I did. I hope this makes it. You said she did that, though? Just a master.
Yes, we need to take into account the accomplishments. Boy, I hear you.
It's hard.
I done preach. I know. I hear you. But, you know, PhD's a different level.
It is.
Like,
though.
The research, and I don't know what else is there, but I just know there's research, and I don't know. I have no knowledge when it comes to PhD. I just think it's, like, something, like, diabolical. Like, I don't know. My brain can't conceptualize PhD. I don't want to do PhD.
Yeah, that sounds hard. But yeah, not to.
I know. We're digressing. You know? We're digressing. Yeah.
So
therapy.
Uh huh.
Pouring into people.
Yes, ma'am.
They're around sucky people. So it's like, how do you get them to realize that everyone has, like, I feel, a gift, a talent, mm-hmm. something that makes them unique from everybody else. But sometimes not everyone gets the opportunity to explore that, whether it may be there's no parents telling them that to explore that, whether it's the friends that mean more to them. So because the friends are not explorers, they don't explore themselves. And so everyone's fitting inside a box. Whatever the narrative is, it's just, you know, people just don't have the opportunity all the time to explore all parts of themselves. So just getting them to realize what I see, because I guess I'm conditioned to see someone's strengths. You know, I'm conditioned to see, even though this is happening, there's also this happening too, right? So trying to see multiple sides to a situation constantly, it's kind of like also what therapy means to me too. So
it's definitely a skill, because I feel like it adds to therapy. You're definitely the master in this.
According to my qualifications.
But it's one of those things where I feel like therapy is not one practice.
No.
And I feel like when we dive into it, maybe you can school me. But like, therapy is just a lot of what you said as far as pouring in. Like, just really being able to see the two sides. Like, a lot of...
Sometimes there's three. Sometimes there's four.
What I used to see as a kid is there's my story, your story, and the truth that someone's in the middle. So
yeah, exactly. It's all perception.
If I was to use my perception, that's what therapy is that third person mediator that would come into whatever the situation is, you know? So describe to me a time where you felt like maybe you needed therapy or therapy called you.
Oh my gosh, navigating relationships, romantic relationships. I can condition myself to, not condition, but I can diagnose. I can self-diagnose. I'm like, okay, so this is what's going on. Okay, like I could totally do it. And because I have that ability, I have so many possibilities of what could be contributing to why things are happening for me in this way. So it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Being able to see all sides, but then you like, you get overwhelmed with all the thoughts and ideas that brew from that creativity. So that's definitely something, just having another outside of myself, someone who would do this exact same thing that I would do, make patterns or highlight patterns and then create understanding from, like, you know, those stories that have been told to us from childhood or whatever, right? So okay. It'd be helpful.
So you mentioned the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel that your skills as a therapist kind of like
bleed into my life?
Yes.
Like all over.
Yes.
How I speak to people, very intentional. Even how I deal with problems, I'm always trying to think of, okay, what's the other person going through? Or like the same things I would naturally tell my clients, mm-hmm. I am doing. So, my friends come to me when they want a more objective response. Like, okay, Tam, tell me. Like, no, for sure. For sure. Yeah, they're my girls, right?
Yeah.
They were there before the business opened in my degree. They'll be there after.
That's perfect.
So, they come to me. But everyone around me respects that I do need to be able to sign off. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't be coming to me every day moment about everything, right? Like, I can't be working.
Use your resources. Exactly. You're my resource.
So let me just put it out there. If you go to 211.ca, the community services and resources is where you can find a whole bunch of stuff in Toronto. So they have East York, North York, like South, like they go Toronto, Central Toronto. So it's like a hub for all the free resources. They're all community.
211.ca.
.ca. You can go into Google and put 211.ca and it will be a directory of all the community services
nice. Yeah. So for those of you guys who are going through it right now, sorry to cut you off.
No.
But you heard it here from somebody who's very well educated and into the field. Whatever you're going through with COVID, I'm sure there's hardships. 211.ca may be able to help you within your region.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so it bleeds in everything I do, literally. Don't get me wrong. I have my ignorant moments. I'm not always logical. I definitely have.
You're human.
Exactly. Right? But this is the thing. Sometimes people take away that part where it's like, oh, you can't make mistakes because you're here. And I agree and I accept it and I understand it and I'm thankful that people respect my craft, but also remember that I'm a human at the end of the day, so I'm bound to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
Granted, I also don't want the pity because I know what I signed up for, but it's just to be mindful of like, okay, like, of course there's going to be moments where I'm going to be ignorant, as they would say, ignorant.
Ignorant. She went to South America, y'all. Yo, damn. I learned that word in Atlanta. I mean,
ignorant.
We lived there for a couple of months when we were younger, but yo, they real ignorant. Yeah.
Exactly. Not yo, ignorant, ignorant. Okay? Like, so.
Yeah, that brought me back a little bit still.
Yeah, right? Like, when you... Oh, I love American lingo sometimes. Oh, like, man. They finna... Turn it up, you know, like, shoot.
They ain't trying to pronounce all the words. But nah, we love them. So, would you say that therapy has gotten more popular over the years?
I think so.
Okay.
I wouldn't say popular, though.
Okay, so before we actually dive into that.
Acceptable is a good word.
It's a better word. More accepted.
And recognized. Socially accepted.
Yeah, I like that. Socially accepted. But I wanted to bring that because before we dive into that one, in the previous episodes, we talk about relationships and snoopings and like just general stuff that apply to everybody. So from a therapist perspective, because you ended up saying that you're human and
absolutely.
You feel too. Yep. So from a therapist perspective, would you say you've snooped in relationship? How do you feel about
when
that?
When I was younger, oh yes, like that sort of stuff.
So before you became a therapist?
Before.
And then you graduated.
Before. No, but even still, like when I was in university, that wasn't my MO. My thing was always like, if I can't trust this person, I shouldn't be with them. That's just what it was. That was what it was for me. So before I became a therapist, I learned a 1-2 gem, you know, before then.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to do all of that, I'm not about that life. Because I'm a jovial person. I like to have fun. And if I'm with that person, they need to be on this. If you're not being truthful, why are you lying? I don't care to find out why you're lying because I'm not your therapist. I just need you to not lie.
So that's the one time you can't use the resources. Shit.
You cannot, right? So it's just one of those things. If it has to be stressful where I don't feel comfortable or secure in whatever we have going on, then I shouldn't be there. That's just been my thing.
So bringing it back to that social acceptance, what do you think has pushed those envelopes to make it become social acceptance?
Well, first of all, I think technology makes a lot of things more accessible because information is just so accessible now, right? There's still people controlling the narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But, see what I did there?
I definitely caught on, but it's like, listen, we're changing this narrative. We're not trying to control them, all right?
I use the narrative because, you know, we try to be different, you know? Yeah. So even though they're...
On the spot.
Yeah. Keep up. So basically, because we have more access to information and people are able to post whatever speaks to them and feels to them, I feel more people are sharing what's going on. People want to not always subscribe to that perfection, that false sense of reality that's on social media. So because there's just more people sharing like, hey, I went through this and you guys all think I'm quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, normal, right?
Don't worry.
And
season two, it's going to be.
Talk about like, that normal.
Whatnot,
okay.
So they can see the air
that's
quotes.
Okay. That's okay. I can narrate for them. So I think because of that, people sharing like real parts of themselves, it just caught on because a lot of us, I think every single person has gone through something that's impacted them negatively and it's stuck with them.
At least once, if not many times,
and it stayed with us.
Daddy issues.
Whatever the issues is, right? Me included. So I think because we all have something that we're dealing with, struggling with, trying to overcome, we've really gravitated to those types of things. And so now everyone's like, oh, okay, therapy, people've been doing this and therapy doesn't have to look this way. And there's also people, you know, who are giving information out there that helps people navigate those tough situations too. So I think because there's more exposure, it's less scary and people are more likely to indulge in it.
So then on that same note, why do you think some people shy away from it still?
Oh, because you're sharing an intimate part of yourself. You rather deal with the evil you know than to deal with the evil you don't. At least you know that if you're in an abusive relationship, you know how it's going to go after a while. When you do something new, you don't know how long it's going to happen, how short it's going to be. You don't know who's going to be affected. Like, there's just so many unknown variables. So people rather just stay where they're at, subconsciously and consciously.
That makes a lot of sense. But I'm a strong believer that no matter what, so when I say no matter what, I mean... Mm-hmm. Whatever your sex is, your origin is, whatever, whoever you are, you need love, acceptance. You try, like, you, yeah. So that means in some form of way, there's going to be part of you that's going to be shared. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to use one word to describe that, couple, mm-hmm. right? So when you think of couple, do you think couple therapy is needed? I personally think, yeah, obviously. But when I ask you that question, I need you to think of the second part.
No, you said, gotta break it down. I can't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I'm gonna bring it to you. So we're thinking about couples here,
right?
And couple therapy. I personally think it's needed, but mm-hmm. you can share your thoughts on it. But where I'm trying to get at is this: you said that the fear mm-hmm. is to
the unknown,
expose yourself to mm-hmm. somebody. But when you're in a couple, yeah. when you're in a relationship, mm-hmm. you should be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So now, the obvious. Right. Every relationship has dirt.
Right.
When you go to couples therapy, do you fix that dirt at home first, or can you bring that within your therapy sessions?
You should absolutely bring it into your therapy sessions, just in the sense where you're not going to, like, it makes no sense for you to go to therapy and everything's fine. You're going to therapy because you need some support in something. Mm-hmm. Own up to whatever it is, because you're just wasting your time and the therapist's time by trying to present in a certain way. You're not here for presentation. You're here to figure out how can I overcome or deal with this in a way that doesn't affect my partner, right? That's what you're there for. So part of the reason why it might be hard for some folks, and they do the presentation piece, is because the idea of someone seeing their true self, which is vulnerability, showing sides of yourself that most folks wouldn't see. Mm-hmm. So people always associate vulnerability with crying and doing all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be obvious.
That's the visual. When you close your eyes, you see it. But
right, it might be crying, but it's also showing parts of yourself that not everyone gets to see, right? And sometimes that's a wounded part of yourself. Sometimes you're more talkative, like whatever it is, right? So because you're not comfortable with doing that, you feel that you always have to put on a show. It doesn't have to be like the extravagant show, but you put on.
Almost like putting on a mask.
Yeah, you put on a mask, right? And you try to present, and it's like, this is what's getting in the way from you guys getting to another level. Because that's what makes it hard to get to another level. Because you have a wall up that won't allow you to even go there for yourself, right? Like, first you got to accept yourself before you can even get into a relationship and get someone to accept you, right? So if you're constantly looking for someone else to accept you, it may never happen because you've never accepted yourself. So that's just something to be mindful of when going to couples therapy or just going to therapy in general. Mm-hmm. Be honest with yourself. And we're going to talk about, I know we're going to talk about like how to select a therapist, because that's a question.
Yeah, we can't avoid it. So since you're trying to go into the future, let's go back first. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
You didn't let me finish. When did
you? You said that last time. You know what?
But you did it. You didn't let me finish last time.
I was gonna say, yo, look, as a woman, this you should be used to that. We finish first. The man, you know what I'm saying?
Listen, I am not the one, honey, okay? I can be loud.
Anyways.
Shoot. Don't come here with your patriarchal views, okay? I'm not a feminist, but I'll tell you about yourself.
it's not even like that. I just wanted to go back a little bit further before you get too juicy.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, I know we're gonna ask about that question, but you cut off my other train of thought, so now I can't remember what I was gonna say.
Okay, I'll try.
But it's okay.
I'll make it up to you. Tell me, when did you feel like you wanted to pursue therapy?
You know what? It wasn't until more recently. So in the last 5 years during my master's program. I knew I always wanted to work with youth.
Go back, tell us, like, walk me through that whole journey, master's program. No, how did you get to master? Yeah, because a lot of people don't know the levels too. Okay, sorry. But, like, everything. Yeah.
There's two ways you can get your MSW, which is your Master of Social Work. So there's one way: you go through college, you can do your SSW, which is your Social Service Worker Diploma. And usually college programs have like a joint program with universities. If you do the college route, when you graduate from your diploma, you can be fast-tracked to the third year of the university's social work program, and you finish after the fourth year and you graduate. Mm-hmm. So that's one route. The other route is just going straight to university. You do the 4 years. It's shorter and cheaper, but one thing I've always loved about college, which I have something from college and university, so I can speak to this, is that college application process is like great. It teaches you the information that you learn and you are able to apply it, whereas university is just teaching you about the theoretical pieces of things. So if you do have the capacity to do both, I would totally encourage it. But I understand if you don't want to do school for that long, then you could do that route too. So after you have your degree, you can apply for your master's program. And then after your master's would be your PhD. So through that time, you could also get certificates and little specialized certifications. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay. So you didn't tell us, you didn't finish.
Well, I'm waiting for you to direct
me. You didn't finish.
You guys can't see my face, but I was real sassy with my face. Okay.
You didn't tell us, like, within that journey, because that in itself is an accomplishment. I really needed you to map that out, because...
That's not my journey, though.
No, either way, anybody has a master's?
Yeah. I'll tell you guys about my journey. My journey was all ping, ping, ping. Like, you know, like, up and down and side to side. Like, okay, so basically what happened was, right, my mama said, I cannot go to college. She said, you're going to university. My mom was adamant about university.
Why is that?
Because she ignorant, okay? But, like, in the sense where she's not knowledgeable about, like, college. Like, they see college as, like, oh, it's just college and, like... It's not it's university. Listed. Yeah, you know, like, it's a thing, okay? Like,
black back, that B word, that, you know, when we...
I don't know what that is, but yeah, yeah, so, like...
Yeah. Never mind, I was being ignorant.
Okay, yeah, she just wanted me to go to university. Like, university meant, at one point, and I'm pretty sure my mom's, like, 70-something now, so she's from old school. So back then, I'm pretty sure if you got a degree, that's you were getting a job. So I think my mom was just really adamant. She wanted that's me to be successful. So she was like, this is how I know to be successful. So you need to do this. There's no other route. You need to go this one route. And that's the problem. Yeah, they don't know any better. But the other thing is they'd want to make sure, right? Because, again, they were convinced that university meant you were going to get a good paying job.
Side note. Do you guys believe that the only way to be successful is by
going to
school? But that's what I'm trying to get at. Because we're from that new school, even though that thinking is the right thinking, we can't pretend.
I wouldn't say right. It's a thinking.
It's a thinking and right in a sense where there's a lot of
promises. And it worked for a lot of people. Exactly. It did.
But however, just being that closed-minded, it's still wrong if we can all sit here and admit that, like, it's schooling is not the only
way. See, this is the thing. So, I love you, right? But the idea of saying wrong and, like, not right, that's judgment within itself, right? Yes. So it's hard for us. I don't think it's fair for us to judge them because this was what was presented to them. And I wouldn't say there's no other way for them to find out different. But truthfully, at that time, information and just, like, going against the grain wasn't always accepted. Especially when you're in a survival mode. So there's an immigration part that's attached to that as well, right? My mom came here. So obedience was her thing. She wasn't a rebel. She was just trying to survive. So there's no real room for her to do too much exploration, trial and error, because she had kids that were depending on her. So, like, with that, all that in mind, of course I understand why it was so important. Well, let me rephrase. Now I understand why it's so important for her to see me do this. But at the time, I was like, what's wrong with you? There's not only one way to do something. And, like, I was so dramatic. But I understand it now in my older and wiser years why it was so important for her. But back then, I was just like, you're wrong and I'm not listening to you. I was like, I was ignorant. Remember? I was ignorant.
Since it be a theme on this, and on this episode, we're going to be real ignorant. But, yeah, that's what's up, though. What's the most challenging / rewarding part of being a therapist or in the therapist world?
Mm-hmm. I'll start with challenging and end on a good note. Challenging, I don't know.
It's challenging when people, situations, like, you see how great the person is in front of you, but their environment just really, really sucks. So it's like, if only they can just be in a different situation, they would flourish. But because they're constantly trying to go against the grain, it gets tiring, right? When everyone in that environment is so negative, closed-minded, not able to see things from different perspective, it gets hard when you are the, you know, the different person, when you are the ugly quote-unquote duckling, right? So that's one thing that hurts my heart to see, great people in really shitty situations. Another challenge... Should I do another challenge?
Yeah. Give us three and three if you can.
Three, okay. Another challenge would be, so there's shitty situations. And then people who get in their own way. So, like, you're able to have, like, candid conversations about, like, great things, and you're able to provide them with some insight around their situation. And then they have moments where they backtrack on what they've said, and they don't want to own up to certain things because it's too hard. You know, it might be too hard for someone to be accountable for those actions and why their situation has unraveled in this way. But, like, those folks who they're not ready to fully make the change. And there's, like, if you guys out there and you guys are, like, you know, book people, you can look up the stage of change model. And it will show you the different stages of change. That change is not just I wake up, I decide, and I do it. There's way more steps. I think there's like 5 or 7 steps or something. I can't remember off the top of my head. But there's a few steps like pre-contemplation, contemplation, and all that stuff. Those pieces all explain how change happens. So it's like with that understanding that change is not as simple to the untrained eye. I understand it, but it's still frustrating and it's still a challenge, right? Because you also want to relieve them. As a therapist, you want to relieve them of whatever is getting in their way so that they can continue to go on and be great, right? So,
is it like a big effort to stay neutral?
Maybe. Some situations, maybe. But for the most part, because, like, I don't know, I think I'm trying to pay attention to the things that I do to kind of get into the headspace, because everyone has bias and everyone has judgment, right? Mm-hmm. But one of the things that separates us from, I guess, the average person is that we've been trained to be very self-aware. Because once you're aware of what's going on, like, what's your triggers, what do you like, what don't you like, it gets easier for you to navigate because you've already processed in your mind how you're possibly going to handle this situation. Mm-hmm. So that you don't project onto the person in front of you, so that they also don't feel triggered or get defensive because you're being, you know, you're reacting to what it is that they're sharing. So you have to really be aware of yourself as a therapist. You should be. There's a lot of people. There's bad apples everywhere.
Yeah, for sure.
And those people, it bothers my soul. But they're out there, right? And they may not always be aware, because people get into this helping profession for different reasons, right? So sometimes it's for selfish reasons. I'll just call it selfish. That's judgment. Mm-hmm. But, like, because they need to fulfill a need or something that happened in their childhood, mm-hmm. right? So because of that, the collateral damage is not always working with the best interests of the client, yeah. right? So with that sucks. But yeah. And then the other challenge would be navigating sucky therapists. Like, how do you reopen the door when someone comes to you after they've had a really bad experience with a therapist? Mm. Right. So, I think, honestly, I think my personality has definitely been helpful for me mm-hmm. in regards to that, because I don't always subscribe to that same narrative. I did it again. I'm 2 for 2. The same narrative where, like, I think on TV they portray a therapist like an older Caucasian yeah. person with the yeah. glasses down and they're rating something. Yeah, sitting on the couch and the person's like tearing up and like dying inside. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh. And they're like, so I'm not that type of therapist, you know? Like, we do the same work, but just in a different capacity, and it's not so like, there's no hierarchy. I try to minimize that hierarchy that naturally happens when you go to a service provider. Like, when you go to a professional, yeah. when you go to a doctor, teacher, yeah. whatever, there's just a natural power dynamic yeah. that happens, right? So I try to minimize it to the best of my ability. Yeah. so that we can have a conversation. Because what I think about, like, who are you more likely to open up to, your best friend or a stranger? Yeah. Right? I'm not trying to be nobody's best friend.
Yeah, you don't
gotta pay. But for that. I want to at least get to a place where you feel comfortable.
Trust.
Right? Trust is a huge thing.
Bring it back to kind of like an older episode again. Mm-hmm. Like, there's certain factors. Everything is a relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
So there are certain factors where, if you want to keep the word relationship as general as possible, you need those factors to come in. And yeah. One of my point was trust. Like, I get every people say communication is all of them are important, but if we're sticking general without trust, I can't do anything.
Exactly.
I can't even move. Like, you know what I'm saying? Unless I want to move. But again, that's not really a relationship, because it's a selfish move,
right?
That you might perceive, and we get into a whole different ball game after that. So with that being said, if to the listeners, and
oh, I forgot to say the positives.
The reward, yeah. I see.
Yo, we have ADHD.
We can't.
It's okay. I've self-diagnosed myself that I have acute ADHD. I'm convinced.
Acute.
Yeah, because it's just small and I'm cute. So.
She did it again. She did it. Yeah, she's out here. She's really shooting her shot.
At who?
Listen, you're good with your words.
Who am I shooting at? Rumors. Yeah. That's how rumors start, sir. They just quote, she's shooting her shot. Tomorrow from Henningham and something. You see?
I didn't mean to start a rumor. I'm apologizing. So tell us about some of the rewards, though.
So my reward is seeing my clients just realize things about themselves that, one, they never thought of, and two, they're stepping into their power. That's my reward. Like, the other day, my client that I've been worried about because he's been dealing with suicide, he came to me and he said he doesn't want to be in a certain situation again. And I almost, like, did backflips because I was just so happy for him to see that part of himself that he hasn't been able to see for, I don't want to say for a long time. And I also don't want to say maybe he's never even seen it before. But regardless of what it is, he's just not. Yeah, definitely. And I was like, this has to be therapy because you never thought about this before. So I attribute that to therapy. I don't know if he attributes that to therapy. But, you know, that's why I go back to pouring into someone, right? Mm-hmm. Not to say that their cup was half empty. It was half full. So I just added some so that they can, you know, get to the level that they should be at.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. What are some signs that somebody may need therapy? Like, if I can break it down in a question, give me 5 signs that would tell me I need therapy. So to the listeners, if they were wondering they need therapy, like, who needs therapy and how can you kind of self-diagnose to know that I should go to therapy?
So you shouldn't self-diagnose. I can tell you firsthand, you'll go round in circles, okay? That's step number one. Don't self-diagnose. Don't go on Google. Google will have you feeling worse than when you started. Okay, so don't go on Google. Step two. But I would say more so that it's about, I think we all need therapy. How about that? We all need therapy in some way, shape, or form. We need someone to help us to get to the other side. There's no shame in asking for help. And that's a narrative that's been created for a lot of people that asking for help means you're weak. And especially for the Black community, I'll bring that in there because I'm Black. It's something that we struggle with because it's been ingrained in us and we need to survive. So that's always been our thing.
But survival doesn't necessarily mean you're weak or strong or anything. So that's the whole different mindset in itself that you would need therapy to compartmentalize. I can never say that word properly.
Compartmentalize.
I can never say
compart?
That. Compartmentalize. Compartmentalize.
Yeah, that's how I say it.
Therapy.
We doing speech therapy around here.
But yeah, so what is, so like, give me, if, even though you say you do not self-diagnose, give me 5.
Well, if anything that's getting in the way from, like, you just feel like things are always going in a negative direction. So you just feel like a deep sense of either sadness, a deep sense of unmotivated, a deep sense of confusion, a deep sense of anything would be helpful, because sometimes therapy is not all about, like, or I should say therapy is about providing you with information so you can make an informed decision about your life. So the therapist is not supposed to tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. They're supposed to provide you with information and say, these are possibilities of what's happening. Does any of this sound like it reflects on you? Right? Because the other thing is you want someone to come to their own realization, because that will last much longer than you saying, this is what's wrong with you. Right? You want them to see what it means and feels like and embody that. So it's just supposed to provide you with information so you can make an informed decision about what happened. Because you also want your clients to be autonomous, right? A lot of the times, clients are in the situation that they're in because a lot of people take away their autonomy, their ability to advocate for themselves or stand up for themselves or whatever.
Okay.
Are they like clients or patients?
Clients. Patients would be more medical. Like, patients is more of a medical model. Yeah.
So, like, to be ignorant, what is a common issue, like, that you would say people bring to therapy? Because you said, like, if it's too much of anything.
Confidence?
Yeah, but I want the master to tell us. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, because we kind of hit it on it. When you look at, in like, as far as the representation, you see a white man sitting down with crossing his leg with a pen and you're on couch, whatever. You also said when they come there, a lot of people worry about the presentation.
Right, yeah.
And then more recently, just basically advocating for themselves and self-realization. Mm-hmm. So is there like a common issue that you would say people...
If I speak like super duper generally, is they lack a sense of belonging, they lack a sense of purpose, and they lack connection.
In therapy, what is your domain of expertise? Like, what kind of therapist are you?
So I work predominantly with families, generally around like parent-child conflict. I have my CYW. Oh yeah, we're supposed to talk about my educational journey. So anyhow.
Now you see, she forgot and I'm still getting
ready. Listen, you the host. You're supposed to host me, okay? You're gonna talk about it. Now you need to listen to that. Now you can't call. You can't
listen. Let's change those narratives. I'm trying to you know, that dynamic can be shared. You know, I'm pouring into you as you're pouring into me. Uh-huh. You know, come on now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only one smooth with my words, evidently. But okay. So I have my CYW, so Child and Youth Worker Diploma from college. And I also have my MSW, which is Master of Social Work. So,
yo, that one I just love the sound of it.
So, because MSW, ooh. Masters of Social Work.
Okay.
So, because I have my CYW, I've worked with really young kids. So, I've worked with as young as 2.5, because I was in a daycare setting. And then as old as 65, I was doing... I was in the hospital and we had to do, my supervisor made me do like a grief counseling, group therapy type of workshop. So there was a 75-year-old, because it's an outpatient program. So anyone who was dealing with anxiety or depression was able to join the program. So there was no discrimination. So because of that, I've been able to really see how it's like working with adults and see how it's like working with youth and working with teens. Teens are still my favorite because I feel like you get a little bit of both. But I can speak to adults because I've used these same things with my mom. Like, navigating some of these things is my mom. Like, there's a generational gap that often happens. So things that were normal for the parent back in their day is no longer normal for the child. That's normal, right? So... Evolution. Yeah, so they're having a hard time making sense of their child's experiences. And because of that, they clash. Because they often reflect each other, right? So they're both stubborn or they're both, like, ignorant. So they're both going at each other. So it's, like, trying to get them to see things from each other's point of view. So that's really my thing. So a lot of group work. So family, group work. I do individual and I do life coaching. And I work, that's pretty much it. I work with families. If I was short with it, just families. So parents, child, whatever.
Can you be shy and be a therapist?
Well, it depends why you're shy, right? Because if you have a hard time speaking to someone in front of you, then it won't work. Yeah, but see, it just
so
won't
much,
work.
I wasn't so much thinking shy. What about timid? Yeah,
well, we mean quiet because you have to be able to direct the sessions, right? So if you're having a hard time being able to direct the conversation and challenge your clients, it may not work in your favor.
So it's not just being a good listener.
It's not just about being a good listener.
On that question, though, like, you know, like, bringing it back to the stereotype of the image.
Yeah.
When you're sitting down, personally, this is what I think.
Yeah.
But that panda, like, And how does that make you feel? Because I'm timid. I don't want to share anything. And, like, maybe you are, I don't know, something completely different of me. Like,
well, the techniques.
Yeah, with the couch. If you guys can see, I'm sitting down, my legs crossed. And how does that make you
feel?
Yeah,
you can't keep doing that. You can do that for some sessions, but you can't do it for all sessions, right? Because you need to be able to show things to your client that sometimes they may not be ready to receive, right? So they might naturally get defensive. But you have to remember that that defense is not because of you. It's more so their own stuff coming up for them, and it's overwhelming for them, hence why they're defensive.
Okay, so you brought it to that second part of that question. So when you are treating them because they're clients,
right?
Or so when you are dealing with them, and you get to that part where this is out of your expertise, it's out of your field, how do you gauge that? Because isn't it similar to what you were just saying?
Yeah, it's one of those things,
it's
right?
It's not me to you.
Yeah, so because I'm not specifically a couples counselor, and I'm not specifically, like, if they need specialized training, I will flat out say, you know, you should really explore the idea of going to a couples therapy. You know, it's unfortunate that I don't have the capacity to do that, but I think you and your partner that you're speaking about right now would really work with a couples therapist. So I have no shame in my game saying I ain't qualified.
Okay, that's what's up. Yeah. Referrals?
Yeah, referrals are the way of life.
Yeah. It's old school way of thinking.
Because I'm wicked in what I do. Yeah. So I'd rather be wicked in one thing than to be okay in 10 different things. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so now let's get into what I like to think is the juicy part, because I can put a little bit of my twist in it. How does someone, give us tips on how someone finds the right therapist?
I would say, if therapists have, like, free consultation, usually it's like a quick little meet and greet. You tell them what the issue is, and then they let you know. Generally, they'll let you know up front if they are qualified or have the capacity to deal with what it is that you're experiencing, right? So the consultation piece is where you get to get a feel out of, does the energy, that's why I'm saying, like, the energy, not their words, does how they make you feel just sitting there speaking casually, do you feel comfortable? Or do you feel apprehensive? If you feel apprehensive about the environment in any way, you have to think about it like, are you apprehensive because you're going to do therapy? Or are you apprehensive because of that person's energy?
Isn't there levels to that? Because how am I going to know until I know, you know?
Well, when you speak to humans, you know who you vibe with and who you don't.
I have a good sense of judgment,
listen,
of character, but
it's
not
a natural
everybody.
Thing. It's a natural
Some
thing.
Some people aren't.
If you vibe with someone, so just off the bat, if you vibe with someone, then chances are the therapeutic relationship will work, right? Because the therapist generally, they're there to support you. So it's not the same type of, like, judgment of character in that way, right? The reason why I say the vibe with the therapist is important, because they're going to be bringing things to you that you may not have wanted to talk about. But if you feel comfortable with them, you're more likely to open up and explore that with them, right? So if you can't open up and explore things with your therapist, then you're not really going to therapy. You're just talking to someone.
Okay, well, put a footnote on that. So tell me how you really feel. I'm being a therapist.
Right? I thought we've been doing that shit. I called you about 3 times. Okay, I'm keeping count.
So tell me how you really feel about the stigmas within your domain, within your field, as far as therapy.
I mean, like, it sucks, but I get it. Like, before I did therapy, I was on the same side too. I was like, I ain't gonna no therapy. I'm a thug. Like, I was totally. I was totally in that boat, okay? I was probably saying, left, left, like directing the ship, okay? But like, since I went through it and I know who I am, I'm like, therapy's not that scary, you know? It's just the people, the therapists, sometimes they make it scary. You don't have to make it that way. And I think those are the bad apples, the ones that make therapy very uncomfortable for people. There is a level of discomfort that will happen, but
it's part of growth.
It's part of growth, but like there's, I don't know how to explain it. Like there's different kinds of discomfort. Discomfort in the sense where they're showing something to you, a pattern to you, and you feel uncomfortable because like, oh my gosh, she just read me. Versus a therapist that makes you feel small for making the decisions that you've made. So those are the differences that I'm talking about. A therapist should never make you feel small for the decisions that you're making. So if you're listening and you talking to your therapist and they make you feel like absolute crap for thinking the way you think, call me. Shameless plug.
So you mentioned that talking, you're not really in a therapy session, you're talking. Mm-hmm. Would talking to my family and friends, can that be considered therapy?
Nope.
Why?
It comes right back to training, right? Your family and friends, they'll give it to you frank, right? And then you get defensive and then you don't even listen to what they say and you go on about your business. A therapist has been trained to bring to light the same issues your family and friends point out to you, but in a different way that will resonate with you where you don't feel attacked. Your friend's just going to tell you how it is.
And what if it's a yes ma'am, a yes girlfriend? Like, you know, that friend that's always like, you can't do no
for
wrong.
For the most, yeah, we're talking about that one friend, but we're talking about generally, you're saying a group of people.
So is the training like specific scenarios and you have to like...
No, there's a whole bunch of techniques. Okay. So there's modalities that we use. So everyone talks about CBT, DBT, all that stuff. You guys are looking at me, deer-eyed. You're like, what?
What does those acronyms mean?
So dialectic behavioral therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, those type of intervention modalities.
Okay.
So those are types of, how do I explain these things? Like, these are frameworks that you can use to deal with the situation. So, like, think of, if I was doing math, this is an equation that you can use to solve X. So you have different many. You see how I gave something different so you guys can understand?
She does that.
I'm trained to basically like make things more understandable, basically.
Find the right equation to speak your lingo.
Right. So I gave one scenario. You guys are like, I don't know what that is. So I gave you another scenario. Like, okay, I get that, how that is, right? So it's being able to let them know different ways of dealing with the same thing.
Okay.
Is it like what you just did? Just like natural to you?
Now it is, for sure. Every skill takes time to build, right? Some people naturally have it, though, I will say. Like, they just have a natural, like, it's interpersonal skills, right? They're able to engage people generally. Mm-hmm. But, like, when it comes to incorporating the same exact, like, this, when it comes to incorporating, like, those modalities into their casual interpersonal abilities, that's the skill.
It takes time.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking on that, is there a max time frame somebody should be in therapy? Like,
no.
So I can be in therapy my whole life?
Yeah. Yeah. So let me tell you this. The art of healing is not a destination. It's a journey. So you don't get to somewhere and you're done. Yeah. The way how I see it as you grow and develop, the same problem is also going to develop and grow. Right? So you need to figure out new ways now in your more matured level to deal with the same issue that keeps coming up in a different way. You're like, oh, I thought I had that down pat. Why is this person trying me this way? I thought I gave up that old person.
So just to like dumb it down a little bit more, is there never a way like I'm going to heal from this? Like, can I not?
It's not that I say you'll never heal. It's just that as like with everything, every evolution, right? Mm-hmm. We get better and better at dealing with things, but that also gets better and better in coming and impeding in our life, right? So, like, we've gotten better at driving, and we still have car crashes. We get better at, like, building stuff, and buildings still tumble down. So, like, we will continue to get better, but there will be new challenges for the same situation.
But the goal is not supposed to be, like, as you said, autonomous?
Autonomous?
Yeah.
Yeah, you will definitely get to a point where you're autonomous. But there might be a time where something else comes and it knocks you down, and the idea of going back to therapy is like, but I thought I was healed. But it's just, it's happening then, in a different way.
For me, yeah, for me, I would more so thinking like, you're not going to therapy for the same issue.
No, not the same issue.
Yeah.
No.
So that's more so, that's more so what I meant. But like, can I be like...
But I'm saying you can be in therapy for the rest of your life. Yeah,
but it'll probably be for different issues.
Absolutely. No situation is one-dimensional. It's always intersectional. Okay. Meaning, like, there's always things that will come together. So, like, I'll give you an example. So, for me, being a woman, black, and, like, I don't even know if I'm middle class or poor. But anyways, so the...
So like that is not getting cut out, but
so like being black is an experience on its own. Okay. Being a woman is an experience on its own. Being in whatever class is an experience in its own, but they all intersect my experience. Yeah. So someone can be in the same situation, but from a different race. Yeah. Someone may be in the same situation, but from a different class. Yeah. And that sort of thing, right? Yeah. So all of them intersect. So that's what I mean by intersect. Because I know I'm using words from my, like...
No, I understand what intersect.
Not you, but we're talking about the listeners. Yeah, yeah, so they may not be as exposed as you are.
No, of course, of course. Listen, I'm getting my free therapy right now.
So I'm saying when I say intersectionality, because I know sometimes I'll be listening to podcasts, I'm like, what the hell does that mean? So intersection is things that intersect. So when I say intersectional, that's what I mean.
Okay. All right. So is there, like, so bringing it back to, like, the stigma of it, like, is there a sofa thing? Like, the whole laying down, is that actually a thing or is it really BS?
No, like, not to say not at all. There's comfy chairs.
Comfy chairs.
There's comfy chairs, and there may be therapists that have so a whole bed.
Paint me your office.
Like, I am on Zoom. That is my office, okay? However you want, people talk to me on their bed. They talk to me from their desk. Some people talk to me in their car. Some people talk to me while they're walking. It's anywhere.
Okay. Because you didn't mention you were already online to the demand of being online.
Prior to the pandemic.
Okay, okay. Did you ever have to do... I know we kind
of... In person, yeah.
In person. So
absolutely.
That room you walked into, paint that to me.
Two chairs.
Two chairs?
There's couches. There can be couches. But
I want the couch. I want to lay down. Like,
you know, but you're not going to lay down because the idea is we're not trying to make you fall asleep.
I ain't trying to fall asleep. I want to lay down. I want to chill. It's kind of like when you go to the beach.
Okay,
you go to the beach to lay down or to fall asleep, but you want to lay down to relax.
Most people fall asleep. I'm like, exactly. I'm like, what you say? You're that hot sun? What? If your belly's full, the ocean waves? Exactly. And because you have trust issues, you're not going to go into a therapy session and lay down. You're going to sit upright and you're going to be uncomfortable.
No, but I want to.
You're not laying down because you're not going to be like, oh, yeah, whatever. Like, because of that, you're definitely, most people when they come, they're on guard.
Yeah, at least the first time.
Yeah, at least the first time. Maybe after they'll lay down or whatever else, but
I tried it. I don't know if it worked. But is there, no, I'm being real. I don't know if it worked because now later on, I feel
as
like
you've ready, gotten more mature,
I'm more mature the develop, that, I feel like I'm more ready to really put in
go
the
to
work
another level
and diving deeper. But however, I feel like I was vulnerable enough that any therapist could have, should have been able to work and do
a little bit more,
a little bit more than what was done. But we'll dive into that. That's a different thing. Probably. Is there such thing as bad therapy then?
Absolutely.
So that would be my experience of bad therapy.
I don't know if that's. The bad therapist is what happens. The ones that are not patient with their clients, the one that don't pour into their clients, that's bad therapy. That's the only definition I have.
Okay, that's bad therapy. So what kind of results should a therapist expect?
Okay, so the easiest way...
To know that the therapy is working.
Well, we talk about that. So that's one of the first things I do with my clients is that we set out a goal. And when we set out a goal, sometimes we may use the SMART acronym, right? So specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, and timeable. And
Timely.
Thank you. Lord, have
mercy. I know something.
You know I know one too. Okay. You're not just a pretty face. Okay, I'll see you. So I may use a SMART acronym. I just ask them, like, what are the steps that they would how would they know that what they're doing is working for them? Like, what would be different for them? So that's actually something that we both use to recognize, because for me to say a blanket statement is not true because everyone's different, right? So being mindful that everyone's different, we are going to talk about together what it looks like, because sometimes when change is happening, it's not always as visible. It's not always as tangible. So you have to be mindful of how changes are going to look like so that you can look out for it. Because it's not always going to be as easy as like weight loss. You see yourself getting smaller. That's a tangible thing. You can see it. You can touch it. You can feel it. But sometimes it may be like, I might be more calm. You can't touch calm. But if you're having an issue, if you're noticing, hey, I actually didn't blow up this time. Or, hey, I'm actually able to get through this conversation without yelling. Like, whatever, that's a little bit easier. That's not easier. That's a way that you can look for it to say, like, okay, it's working for me. You know, I'm noticing when I'm getting upset, I'm able to stop myself so that I don't keep going, keep escalating. So those are the things that you can look out for. So tailoring it first to my client, and then it's just you see a sense of confidence happening in whatever area that they were struggling in. So that would be something that I would say.
Like, confidence is a pretty good gauger of it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They're able to execute. They're less questioning themselves.
Exactly. They'd be like, should I do this? And I'd be like, yo, I thought about doing that.
Just exactly.
The form of that question itself is.
Yeah. Less questions, more statements. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
So do you think that therapy is more effective as a group or individually?
I don't know. I think they serve different purposes. You know, I think sometimes it's good in a group because you get that sense of community. You don't feel like you're on an island by your own. So then you're less likely to feel like I'm a terrible person because no one else is dealing with this and I'm the only one dealing with it. But sometimes it's like, you know, you got that trauma bond. We all struggling. So like you really bonded through that. And when someone gets really good, you start to be like, oh, you think you're better than us because you're no longer struggling with this. Mm. Right. So like there's some things to that. And then individual, it's like, okay, it's great because you get someone to talk to. No one else hears what's going on. But then the other thing is, like, again, you feel like you're the only one dealing with it, right? And sometimes that's hard to deal with.
That's a problem in its own.
Can you have the same topic for both?
Yeah. Yeah, you can do the same thing. Like, you can do self-esteem individually, and you can do self-esteem as a group.
Yeah, for sure. I can see. I can definitely see a lot of those topics being transferable and translatable. Therapy, religion, culture.
Oh boy.
Just to name a few. So in African culture, therapy
doesn't exist.
No.
In Jamaican culture, it means mind your business.
All right. So you're getting the vibe, the road I'm trying to go down.
Yep.
So how did you being raised, what, the middle child?
Nope, baby.
Baby. So, mom gone through whatever she's gone through. She's now a woman and have these kids to take care of. And for the most part, all of them are falling in line. You being the baby, you're most likely going to be the trailblazer trying to do, maybe fall in line, but do it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And therapy at that too. Yeah. Talk to me about some of the realities that some people may not see or may not be aware that caused you to be as good, or maybe, I guess there was no delay because you said it was ping, 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 ping for you.
So yeah, I was up and, no, I mean, ping, ping in the sense where I was up, down, side, side. Like, it was never a linear or straight incline of what we think success should be and look like, right? So it's like zigzag. Think of zigzags, right? Not always going up either. So for me, I think what worked, and I think about this often because I'm like, how did I get here? I think my mom was really big on extracurricular activities. Mm-hmm. So I was in a lot of after school programs, meeting people from all walks of life, being with counselors, like counselors as camp counselors. Mm-hmm. And we never really had CYWs or even social workers. Like, I wish I had a social worker when I was younger, actually. But anyhow, so I just had those kind of informal supports, right? Like a leader, a team leader or something like that, right?
Big brother kind of thing.
Yeah, youth leader or any of that stuff, right? Mentorships. So because of those situations, I got a lot of, like, whatever my mom lacked because she was trying to, like, figure out life because my dad died suddenly, right? So with my dad dying suddenly when I was, like, 2, she had to just like rearrange everything. Because remember, she was an immigrant, right? So survival, she had to go in like survival mode. She dropped out of school, went and found a job that could pay bills because my dad was dealing with that, right? So because she never had that opportunity because she, again, she was in survival mode, she put me in after school programs, right? It kept me occupied. I was doing things. I was learning things. I was great. I was also like an active kid. I was a tomboy. So like, I was just like, that's why I feel like I have ADHD, but yeah. But like, I was just like, I was very hyperactive, right? So
I was just jumped as a baby, but it is what it is.
You said you jumped as a baby?
I was jumped.
Oh my God.
Things happen, you know?
Oh, okay.
I jumped my child a few times. She seems to be okay.
OMG. Listen. Things happen. Listen.
Maybe it's a family curse, but I don't know.
If you ever go to therapy, okay, and you say any of the stuff that Emmanuel's saying, by law, I have to call CAS.
For what?
Okay, that's duty to report that you drop your baby? Like, what? I'm not going to call CAS.
I slipped and I fall. Is that better? It's winter. It's winter.
OMG. Okay, well,
let's get back.
Without the context, right? But like, if you say things of that, I have to go into like hyper aware mode. Like, what do you mean when you say that? Because you're just joking, right? But like, when people say that, I have to go into investigation mode. Not necessarily, let me rephrase that. Not investigation mode, but just ask like, what do you mean? Are you saying that, you know, you dropped the baby off then? Or it's just like, you know, you just slipped on an icy street, you know? And like, if you say you dropped the baby often, I've often said to people like, you know, by telling me these things, you know, it breaches confidentiality and that sort of thing, right? Because the thing about it is I have a love-hate, we're like going off tangent, but I have a love-hate relationship with Children's Aid Society. Because of the intake workers, those are the people who are making decisions as to whether they're going to apprehend or not, or just give that family support. Because CAS works in different ways where it gives family supports, and it doesn't always take the child.
Yeah.
They also don't got money to keep taking children, so that's why they don't take them no more. But we ain't going to talk about that.
Okay.
So they...
That's some gems right there. I don't know. Because in the black community, when you say that word, they're coming to kick
it. Exactly. Exactly, right? But if you notice, like, it's gone down a little bit more, they're less likely because they also... they can't money. Exactly. They can't afford to house these kids that they take in. So now they need to... Anyhow. So, anyway, so sometimes they're making the decision, you know, behind the scenes. Things they don't tell you. So they make the decision. And part of the problem is when they're not taking in the cultural lens of things, they misinterpret things and they're like, oh my gosh, this is abuse. And it's like, not necessarily. It's taking out of context. Like beating. Right? Like beating,
yeah,
right?
We talked about that.
I do know that 100% as a child, from definition, I should have been apprehended because my mom bust my ass. Mm-hmm. Like, she bust my ass. Okay?
I'm trying to tell people I'm getting beat into my 20s. We won't bring that back. But
you know, she was busting my ass. Okay, so I should have been apprehended. And I feel like I turned out okay. But hey, I was like, so we digress. So let's bring it back to now with like, so because, okay, so bringing it all the way back. So because of that, she put me in programs to less beat my ass. Okay. So she didn't have to interact with me as much.
So because, it wasn't really so much because, okay.
So she was doing it because she knew I needed it. Mm-hmm. And she also recognized that. I don't think she recognized. Let me not say that. Mm. I know she knew she needed a break, but I don't think she understood why she needed a break. Mm. Right?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
So like, it's one of those things, you know, that parent guilt. Like, I feel bad for needing a break from my child, but you need to take a break.
You do.
Parents, take your breaks. Yeah, don't feel guilty. You know,
important.
Speaking goo goo gaga all day is not the same as speaking to an adult, you know?
It's very important.
So anyhow, I was in a lot of programs, so I got exposed to a lot of people, and just because I was exposed to a lot of people, it just helped me to see the world more full, right? Because if you're only ever around people who think a certain way, do things a certain way, you'll
exposure
be limited.
Exposure leads to expansion.
Exactly. Exposure leads to expansion, right? So because of that, I was kind of like introduced to different ways of thinking. Like, okay, cool. So because I was always with like a worker in some capacity, group capacity and that sort of thing, I was able to get regulated in different ways, taught about how to navigate certain things. And I was like, man, I want to be like Andrea. Man, I want to be like the people that
that inspired you.
Inspired me, right? Because I'm like, they're so patient. I could never do that. I'd kick someone in their face. Like, I was just like ignorant. Remember? I was ignorant, okay? So I would never do that, right? I would always be this way. So you see things and like, I want to be like that. And you ask them, how do you get there? And they're like, oh, I did this, or I'm currently in school for social work, or I'm da-da-da-da-da. And you're like, oh, I want to do that. So you always kind of...
pique your interest.
Yeah, right? So then, basically, I wanted to just work with youth. I never wanted to work with adults because I also hated my mom at that time, right? I'm like, I don't want to work with adults. Adults suck. They think they know everything. Teens, I can mess with them. Yeah. We can talk about things and we can conspire against the adults, I'm like, right?
I always said it. I'm a grown-ass kid. I refuse to grow up, you know? So it is what it is.
So so because of that, that's when I wanted to go to college, but my mom said, no, you're going to university. And I was like, see, this is why I hate adults. Once I finish adult university, I'm going right back to college. And that's exactly what happened. So I graduated. So I guess this would be a good time to explain my educational journey, because we keep talking about it. So essentially, I went to Windsor University. Yes,
I know a whole bunch of Windsor people. Right,
shout out to my Windsor people. Shout out to Partington and 520. Y'all know who y'all is. Shout out to Fusion. Okay, I'm done. So, so basically, I went to university.
I promise y'all, she's professional.
I went to university, and for social work. So I got in for social work. And then after I got in, they're like, you need to reapply for your third year. And I was like, my first year, I was on the dance team. I was in the student group called Fusion. And I was also on the fashion show committee. So I was like super duper busy with like the social aspect of school. I'm like, I don't really know how this.
Yeah, you're living your best life.
I don't know how this academic piece is going to work out if I got to reapply. I thought I was in. So I'm like, that's how they get money from people. They overtake people and then they all have to like crabs in the bucket to apply for the third year. Anyhow, so I was really frustrated about that. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'll just see what happens and I'll probably just get my master's. So by my third year, I actually could have applied. My average was good enough for me to apply. But by then I was like, yeah, I'll just get my master's. Remember, I was ignorant and I wasn't really proactive. So after I graduated from university, I was like, okay, I switched my major to women's studies. I'm not a feminist, but I definitely have feminist ideas. Because I don't feel like I practice feminist ideology all the time, so I don't think it's fair for me to call myself a feminist. Like, I feel whoever calls themselves anything should be practicing it all the time. Same thing with Christianity. You can't be a Christian on Sunday and be a freak from Monday to Saturday. Like, it don't work. Okay? So because people do that, I just think, you know, it's fair. If I want to say I'm a feminist, I should be doing this every day in every way, capacity full. Anyhow, so I'm not a feminist, but I really enjoyed that program because it just taught you about the voices that are never really heard often, and it really challenged my mind in the way of thinking about different things, right? Even down to the historical piece, right? So I really enjoyed it. So I switched my major to women's studies. And then after, I was like, okay, I could work at a women's shelter. Perfect. I can empower women and all that great stuff. I couldn't get no job. So the logic that my mom had, it's not working for me.
Yo, I have that.
So
let's not get into it.
I went to, then I found out, oh, if you have your master's, the college will allow you to fast track. So at the time, a CYW diploma was 3 years. I would have been able to do it in a year. So I did that because I was like, this is what I always wanted. So it was really funny when I was in college because I'm there looking at my mom. I'm like, what? I got my university degree. You can't tell me nothing. So I had it. I got my CYW. And then,
which college?
Say again?
Which college did you go to?
George Brown. Okay. I went to George Brown. And then I learned that CYWs, for the most part, they will work in group homes. But they're working 12-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the clientele is really aggressive. Sometimes they are not always able to be accountable for their actions and all types of stuff, right? Because you are their guardian. Mm-hmm. Right, you're making sure that they're fed, their hygiene is decent, and like you're making sure their well-being, you're taking care of their, you're looking out for their well-being. So because of that, I was like, I'm not trying to work more. I'm trying to work less.
You're smart.
So I was like, maybe I can't do the CYW thing. And then I remember my professor was like, everyone has to go through group home. It's the rite of passage. And I'm like, I don't need to go through no rite of passage. So I'm like, I'm going to go and get my master's. And so I was thinking that I needed something like big to happen in my life before I was 30. So I was like, what am I doing with my life? And I was like, nothing's happening in my life.
So you went and got that master's.
And so I was like, let me apply for this master's. And I got in. Even that idea about the master's, that's why I'm like, God wanted me in this position. Because how I got into my master's program was also like, it had to have been a divine intervention because it didn't make no sense. So anyhow, so I went from university, college, right back to university for my master's.
This is back at Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's like that word. When I think of masters and I think the amount of work that's needed,
yeah.
Like all I can do is applaud because listen, doesn't matter what the field is,
yeah.
it's not easy and it takes some serious devotion. So
yeah.
Kudos to you. And I mean, just off your energy alone, personally, I feel like if you are my therapist, I would definitely want to like hear what you have to say.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm not no professional, but when I think of therapy, I feel like it's important to be able to identify yourself within that therapist as well,
yeah.
Because you've said it, you are the professional and you've basically hit it on the nail. Like you are, I'm holding you accountable of my darkest moments, secrets.
Yeah.
But it starts with I.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people forget that when you go to therapy, you, the client, you have power.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that power is something you're there to basically learn how to harness.
Yeah.
So you can,
you know, like X-Men?
Yeah. Like you know
X-Men
saying?
University.
Yeah.
And, they all have superpowers and they don't.
It's funny you said that because that's exactly how it should be. And my experiences hasn't always been the best. Wasn't until I remembered I have peers like you who are therapists where I didn't necessarily like fall into that image of what black people think of therapy.
Exactly.
But me as an individual, I feel
like... Or just
like,
people, not just black people.
Well, I speak for myself. Right?
Yeah.
Before we wrap it up, just where could people find you? Do you accept new clients with the COVID?
I do.
And like, just tell us a little bit more about your practice.
So I'm strictly online as of right now. And you can find me at H, the letter N, the letter A for Henningham and Associates. So it's an acronym. Practice. So HNApractice.com. So that's my website, and you can book with us. We also offer free consultation. So if you want to just see how the vibe is with me and feel that it's appropriate, and also to make sure that I am a good fit,
mm-hmm.
We offer free counseling as well on Fridays. And on Instagram, it's H.associates. And on Facebook, it's also Henningham and Associates. And on LinkedIn, it's Henningham and Associates. So it's very consistent for the most part. I'm pretty sure you Google me, you know.
She said Google me. Okay, that's what's up. All right, well, for the most part, that is a wrap. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us, Tam.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for calling me out on my show.
No problem.
And giving me some therapy.
That's what I'm here for.
We're definitely going to have to bring you back. I love the energy.
Thank you.
And again, you guys can find us on every single platform. So that is SoundCloud, Acast, Spotify. And you already know what it is. If you have any questions, show your love, show your support. Instagram is the page where we try to communicate and we read all the emails. So your voice is not going unheard of. If there's a particular topic or even a guest that you think we should have on the show and you want some information, please don't hesitate to refer that to us. So a quick recap what I personally got from this, and then I want you to give us your master's opinion. therapy is not expensive, y'all.
It kind of is if you don't have any interest.
If you don't have the right resources, which can guide you,
aka insurance,
to get you to where to the therapy that you need, it could be expensive, yes. But as far as getting your foot through the door, there's some gems. The 2-1-1 that she said, and even in the closing, you mentioned the free counseling on Fridays. I'm sure there's other, I hope there's other practices out there. But for a Black business owned, this is a great opportunity within the Black community. If you were thinking that, oh, I can't do therapy because of all the reasons, but the one thing that kept you away was the finance, I realized today as I'm sitting here talking to you guys today that it's not real. Like, you can get the help without necessarily worrying about the money aspect of it.
Yeah, there's resources out there, free and paid. The only thing with free is there's generally a wait. Makes sense. Because it's free. Right? Yeah, you know? It makes sense. So the paid version, you're more likely to get in quicker because they all usually have a lower demand in that sense. So, yeah.
Okay, that's nice. That's nice. I just want to end it up. You already know the next topic I'm thinking of making is who am I? A question we all go through. An opportunity for me to use some of these tips, therapeutic tips that I use to maybe be that much more vulnerable and open to the listeners. So there's a lot going on with the project, and I really want to thank the listeners, thank the producers. We only have a couple of months, sorry, until the first season is done, and it's going to be a new chapter, a new beginning. So by God's grace, we'll see how COVID continues to treat us. Stay safe, stay blessed, and thank you for the love. You already know, your boy Diggy Dat out.